Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 214. This is part two to Separated. Today is Sunday, October 2nd, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if your household needs food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. You would come between 9:30 and 10:30, Monday through Friday, bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verification of the household members, either medical cards or social security cards. It's that simple. Pastor Paul's club distributes a lot of groceries, so be sure to bring help carrying the food, or if you're on the bus, bring a grocery cart or a huge bag, because there is a lot of food. A lot of times, Pastor Paul gives away cases of perishable food as well, such as fruits and vegetables and 20-pound bags of onions. We deal with a lot of perishable foods, fresh foods, as well as frozen, not so much in the canned goods. So be sure to be prepared to carry, bring extra bags. Okay, if you have any questions, you want more information about Pastor Paul's club, you can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find a link to Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the show notes as well. And then there are the scripture links in the show notes too. And subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now for the month of September, these are the messages. The poor, self-righteous, crossing over, commitment, and separated. So be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. That's all I have for you. Have a great month of September. God bless you.
You take your little sanctimonious matches and you strike them and you light candle number 4,000. Huh? Maybe you curse because one went out. What's the matter with these blankety blank candles? They're getting cheaper every year. Is that your idea about God? That that's worshiping God? Beads? Rattling them old beads around? Or gowns? Long, sanctimonious gowns and tall hats? swinging lanterns of smoke. That's a joke. Kind of rhymes, don't it? Smoke joke. Statues? No. We'll see. Let's get this statue. What do they want for that statue? Hey, nothing. Nothing's too great for God. 50,000? It's all right. We'll take it. Can you make it 14 feet taller? How much more would that be? Double? That's all right. Anything for God. You think God wants that? Or pitchers? Or $50,000 pipe organs? It's something. And they're terrible sounding. Make the hair on, if I had, it'd stand straight up on top of my head. Sounds like Phantom of the Opera. How many hearing this? You expect one of them pictures, the eyes to become alive in them, and all of a sudden you see the eyes moving the picture. It's a joke. You know, the devil cannot bear scorn. He's getting scorned. But the candles and the incense and the smoke and the rituals, and how about bingo for God? How about bazaars? That's why they call them bazaars. They're so bizarre. But when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That does not glorify God. Even just coming to church and sitting in church. Oh, when's this guy going to get over? Man, oh man, oh man, this guy talks on and on and on and on. Well, never mind how long I talk. You listening on the radio, just keep tuned in. Close all the doors and windows and no one walking out. Say amen, somebody. You should have went tutty before you came in here. How many are hearing this message? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Now, you listening on the radio, if you treated your husband the way you treat God, you wouldn't have his attention either. How about just sort of hanging up his pants and his shirt and his tie on the wall and talk to them? Huh? Do you think that you'd have your attention of your husband? No, that's the way we treat God, though. Fall on your face. The Bible says, and be nothing before the Most High God, repent, accept His righteousness, not your own. Adore His bleeding Son, Jesus, the name above all names. And trust in His infinite compassion. It's always there. And so we must glorify Him as God. Not as a statue, not as a picture, not through ritual. Not through being with a large group of people. In some geographic setting, some people think they have to go all the way to Israel. Then it'll be more fun worshiping God. Isn't this fun worshiping God over here in Israel? Isn't this fun worshiping God over here? Pasadena, California, at this big seminar on how to reach God. Never-ending seminars. And you see the same boobs in this place. I went to about two of them. I thought, what a waste of time. Everybody's sitting in there and they got these notebooks are about this thick a notebook. They're taking all these notes and everything, you know. Huh? Kids might be with them. Taking notes. Huh? Get their face right down in their face. Wait till I get you home. Can't you see I'm taking notes? think that kid's going to grow up to love God? You spend every waking hour? Huh? With earphones on? Study books out in front of you? Books all over the house? The world does that, don't they? You can't even talk to them. They got these earphones on. They're in their own little world. God. Now, we must glorify Him, the Bible says, as God. God, it says, for God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in the Spirit and in the truth, in the Spirit. Well, you can't work up the Spirit. A lot of times people think they can work the Spirit up. Okay, now let's work it up. Come on. And they put on woolen robes. The Bible says take off your woolen robes and put on linen. And they have to work it up. Okay, work it up now. Come on. Praise. It's almost like they're cheerleaders. Work it up. Work it up into a crescendo. Work it up. Work it up until they're almost crazy. Have you ever been to those meetings where they work it up? The guy told me, he said, I really know it was the Spirit because, boy, people laid down, they rolled in the floor, they jumped, they knocked their wigs off, and they just went crazy. I said, but what Spirit? God is a God of order. What Spirit when 15 people prophesy in high C so screechily? Vehemently. How many are hearing this? There's no reality in it. Now, God doesn't want you to be half in the Spirit. Huh? That's like, you go to your job, can you be half in the Spirit of that job? Just use one arm, huh? One leg. How long do you think you'd last there? Half in the Spirit. How long do you think you'd last? You work at McDonald's? Huh? And you're trying to work this French fry machine, see, and the buzzer goes beep. Would you come over and help me? Why? I'm only half into this job, and I got my hand full. And you're hopping around with one leg and one hand. And half of your mouth, one eye closed, one ear open, only half alive. How long would you last at McDonald's? You ever hear that song, Old MacDonald Had a Farm? That's where you'd go. No, you got to get into it. No. No, if you put a half into it, that's what you're going to get out of it. Half out of it. You got to go all the way or they'll replace you. Hands half-masked. Sometimes you ask people, say, well, let's just give the Lord a clap offering. It's like they're making mud pies. Okay, we're going to take a collection. Everybody claps. You want to get them into it? Say, we got $1 million up here. We're going to throw it up in the air. Now their hands are up. But anyway, sort of a bored half expression on their face. There's a bored expression on your face, and I know it's the Spirit of yourself. Do you ever go to work down there at McDonald's and get some of those people that come to work and they got that bored expression on their face? Huh? Aren't they a joy to work with? Huh? Aren't they a joy? What's wrong with you? And everybody walks around on eggshells. Oh, what's wrong with Sally today? Huh? What's wrong with her? Boy, She sure got up on the wrong side of the bed. She must have slept on a bed of nails. Half thoughts, I'm saying, of God. A lot of times you see people come in, they have half thoughts of God and half thoughts of, do you have any breath mints? Yeah, that's what they're thinking about when they come to church. Oh, God, I forgot my breath mints. I believe we should be so in shape. We could be like the Olympic people. Oh, when you go for sports, you're in shape, aren't you? Huh? Shouldn't you be in shape spiritually speaking? Shouldn't you be so into it that nothing would deter you? Shouldn't you? Well, you have friends. And you're up there, see, and you're in golden gloves, let's say. And you're in there, and you're sparring, you're boxing around, and you're doing your thing, and fainting and fading. And the guy says, either you stop, or I'm going to leave you. Or you're going to say, don't leave, you're going to get knocked right on your head. No, get into it. Glorify God as He was God. Not half God. Not half a rejoicing. Not half sitting in church. Not half sitting in the chair, half in and half out, waiting for the bell to go off like at school. Come on now. But also, the people in this text did not glorify God, for they did not obediently serve Him. See, if you don't obediently serve God, it's like when you go to work and you have a boss and you don't obediently serve him, you don't consider him a boss. I want you to go out there, move that truck, and take the tractor off of that one. First, back it up over there in the corner. Then I want you to go up, move this other truck and put that over there, and move this one, that one. Then you can back up with your own truck and load up. Okay, Jay? Yeah, all right. Half obedience, don't cut it. No, it's all the way. Well, yeah, but I was going to back it up. I heard ya. Something came up. My friend called. They want me to go out with them. I backed one of them up, and I just didn't back the other one up. What's the big deal? You're fired. Get out. Am I making myself clear here? It's not a half of obedience. We treat God like He's not God. We treat the world better. We treat our bosses better because we can get something we can see out of it. And when you woke up this morning, you listening on the radio, did you say, what does God expect of me today? I've said that, but as of late, I've said it like this. I wonder what God expects out of me today. Woo! That woke me up in a hurry. I wonder what's going to happen today. Well, I know as of late I have to strap on the full armor of God. Put on the breastplate and the helmet, huh? And the armbands and the sword. I know that, and I know that I have to obey Him all the way because it's getting dangerous out there, and there's a whole lot of servants, and there's a whole lot of servants that, like Gideon's army, are taking off. Say amen, somebody. Well, look, I think I left the gas on at home. That's it. I left the gas on at home. See, they're liars because they have to talk themselves into it. They tell themselves a lie and then they agree with it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Left the gas on. Huh? Are you lying to yourself? How many Christians right now are lying to themselves?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I got to take off because of this. Yeah, that sounds good. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, I'm glad I thought of it. Oh, it sounds so real.
You know it ain't real. Have a thought of God. Sometimes people say that I got a half a mind to do this or that. Well, that's because they only got a half a mind to do it. They'll never do it. Don't worry about them. They only got a half a mind to do it. They'll never get in a place with it. But what does God expect out of me today? When you grade yourself as a servant for the day, how did you grade yourself? Oh, I'm going to pass out sheets. Grade sheets. And you grade yourself. The very top of the list will be your face. How are you going to grade your face for the day? Huh? And then God, say, God, help me with this so that I answer truthfully. Seek my, Lord, look into my heart and see if there be any lying, evil thing. And then you have a multiple choice there. Wonderful, stupendous, colossal face, magnificent, and putrid. What are you going to put? And how did your job go today? That you were supposed. Well, let's see. I knew you'd forgive me, so I went 3 hours late. How are you going to grade that? A, B, C? How about an F? How about a flunk? You're not doing, you think, a lot of times people think, we're doing God a favor. Do you feel that way about your boss? Look, I'm doing a favor being here. If you don't like it, get somebody else. You don't dare say that to your boss, right, Jay? You know why? You'll get somebody else, won't he? Replacements! There'll be a stampede. Right? Your job, too. There'd be a stampede for your job. Huh? Isn't it the same way? Why don't we just glorify God like there is a God? But grade yourself. Attitude. Ooh, wouldn't that be terrible if we had to grade ourselves? If we had exams, do you know at night you have exams? You're laying there at night and the Holy Spirit gets on you and you're having an exam. Where were you? God, I can't go to sleep. Huh? Now you're being graded. When you get convicted, guess what that is? It's a grading. You convicted listening on the radio? Do you want to shut the radio off? You want to run out the back door and stomp out mad? Go home and jump in bed and cover your head up with the covers? Boom! How dare you grade me? I didn't grade you. You graded yourself. You graded your teeth, too. But did you serve God from a whole heart? Or did you just put in your day? How boring to put in a day. Oh, another day, another dollar. You wouldn't work for a dollar. You got to have a dollar a minute nowadays. Do anything. Say amen, somebody. How many here in this one? Whew. Just put in your day. I believe there's a lot of people that are servants of themselves, and there is no master more tyrannical than an unsanctified self. You want to work for a hard taskmaster? Work for yourself. Self is never satisfied. I think a lot of people are toiling like slaves in Siberia for wealth and honor and respectability. For something for themselves. But remember, if the Lord be God and He made us, we are bound to serve Him. How many of you know you were created to worship and to serve God? And if you don't do that, you won't be happy. And the secret of it is to give your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole soul to God without any deviating, without any excuses. And it says they were without excuse. Oh, we try to find excuses to get out of a tight place. Maybe someone listening on the radio is in between a rock and a hard place, and they got to sort of slither out like some kind of a bug or something. You know what I mean? A worm. But remember, if the Lord be God, you are bound to serve Him. And how is it? You listening on the radio are 40 years old and have never glorified Him as God. I don't know who you are. What do you mean, Pastor Paul? By serving Him. That's how you glorify God. Well, can I serve Him just as well if I go, you know, over to Egypt, or if I go over here or go over there? There's another charge to be brought against those who glorified not God, although they knew Him. You know why? They did not trust Him. Our place is under the shadow of God's wings, not under Social Security. That's fading fast, ain't it? Nor insurance plans. If He made me, I ought to seek Him in a time of trouble, not something else. In the time of need, I should apply to His riches. But how many run to their neighbors? Or trust in old uncle or daddy, but never trust in God? The offer is that God is all truth and all love, and does not have our trust, although that He's all truth and all love, does not have our trust and confidence of His very own creatures. Remember how God spoke through Jeremiah? Cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm, and his heart departed from the Lord, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see good when it cometh, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. It goes on, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be like a tree, hallelujah, planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall be careful in the year of drought. Doesn't have to be careful in the year of drought, neither shall she cease from yielding fruit. Even during those dry and those hard times, if you'll treat God like He is God, you'll be like a tree planted by the waters of the rivers, hallelujah, plural, and you'll never have to worry in a parched place, for you will have fruit and you will be green of leaf. And so the people in the text knew God, but they did not trust Him. Also, they did not seek to commune with Him. And I believe a lot of people have never ever tried to speak to God. And maybe God has never spoken to you. At least you didn't recognize it. And I thought, oh, how sad it is when a son who has lived with his mother and his father for years and has never spoken to them. I talked to a young man once that said, I think there's a lot of them. He says, I haven't spoke to my folks in about 5 years. We don't have anything in common. Oh, I says, yes, you have something in common. You're taking advantage of their free food and rent and everything. Do you believe in living dangerously? I do. You have something in common. And I said, would you want such a boy living with you? And when you said, son, it's time to get up, you never answered. And you ate and you never talked. You go to bed, mute, on and on and on, silence, silence, silence. I said, son, how would you like that? Only the slurp and the burp and the squeak of the bed is all they get out of you? You would have to say, sorry, son, you'll have to go. I can't bear to live with you. You don't speak to me. You don't talk to me. If I speak to you, you never answer. Some of you listening can't remember that when you spoke to God or God spoke to you. It's been so very, very long. How lonesome for both of you. I don't know, God gets lonesome when you don't speak to him. I know God's living right inside of you and you don't even commune with him sometimes. You're all caught up on how to get out of things and how not to do things. Oh, God, I'm thankful that I know the grace of God keeps me here in what I'm doing because it's under a lot of criticism. Oh, my goodness, I mean. But that has nothing to do with being here, does it? Does that have anything to do with your effectual call? If the calling is effectual, what effect should that have on your effectual calling? And some even call on God to witness their lie. God be my witness! And it's a plain, bald-faced lie. Are you hearing this? Yeah, you broke the silence, but you shouldn't have. You only used God. God be my witness! You've done things and people are doing things in the name of Jesus. False, evil, slanderous, blasphemous things. And then they have said, God spoke to me. Have you run into people like that? Why did you do such an awful thing? God spoke to me. You listening on the radio, you have made mischief with God's word in someone else's life and said, that's the way God works. Woe to you. Remember our Savior said, for every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account in that day of judgment. How much more are you going to have to give an account of an evil work blamed on God? God told me to do that. God spoke through me. God prophesied, thus saith the Lord. Oh, there's so many people saying, thus saith the Lord. Oh, hey, and I know the Spirit is wrong on it. God doesn't speak like that. I mean, you betray what you say on the basis of what you are. And then there are some that, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him because they, while they, let's say, were conscious of their enmity against God, they didn't want to be reconciled to God. I think there is a perfect reconciliation. Well, you say, what is that, preacher? It's turn over to the Lord. It's confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and thou be saved. You have perfect salvation. It'll last forever and ever and ever and ever. And argue if you want to, but that's what the Bible says. It says that you are adopted into the family of God by coming ahead, coming up forward at a Billy Graham crusade, coming up forward right here, praying over the radio, praying over this tape, meeting me up there on Broadway and Emerson, over on Selby and Dale, praying on the streets, over the telephone. Wherever you come to the Lord, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord, thou will be saved. Hallelujah. And that's the glorious gospel, the message of Jesus Christ that people don't want to preach, and they've left the gospel, the power of the gospel, for another message. Whoever believeth in Jesus Christ at once is forgiven. He's adopted into the family of God. He is saved with an everlasting salvation, and that's the message I preach. Now, a lot of people know this in their mind, but it never excites a desire in their heart. But then to be reconciled or not doesn't bother them. What bothers them? Going to bed at night bothers them. Your prayers bother them. The prayers of Jesus Christ bothers them. And I'll tell you something. There's a whole lot of folks out there right now that God is going to call up people you thought would never, ever be called. When I got saved, I had people come and they said, you know something? If that man, Paul, is converted, I believe in God. And, you know, being of a prideful nature and new in my walk, I got mad. If you can be saved. And then I went home and I was destroyed. You know, I thought I had attained spirituality. And who are they after all, you know? Then I read Paul. He says, I am the chiefest of sinners. And I asked God to show me where I was at. And he did. And I really did feel like a worm before the month was over, because God was dealing with me and exactly where I was at. And he says, this is a destroying of the flesh and a lifting up of the spirit, and don't you condemn yourself, for I do not condemn thee either. The only thing that I'm doing here is showing you yourself, and you're going to have to die with this self. But I still love you, and I have taken you, and you have received me, and I will not turn you, and no ways will I ever turn you out. The Lord spoke to me today on the way to church, and he said, well, I've been praying about finances here. As you can see, we need finances here. How many know? You look around the church here, and you can say, hey, you need finances here. And the Lord assured me, he says, Paul, I'm going to take care of you. And didn't God take care of us today, fellas back there? From some unknown source? Hey, trust in the Lord. These months that I have been hanging on. Isn't there a song? I keep hanging on. Well, it's something, I don't know. My computer is going again. But you know something? God is going to bless your endeavors if you put your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole soul, and you're dedicated to the cause of Christ and you're committed to it. The principles hold true on your job. They hold true in the spiritual realm. They hold true with everything. Commit your ways unto the Lord and in all ways acknowledge him, and he will establish those things, the Bible says. You go ahead and make plans, and God will establish them if they're to be established. Isn't that wonderful to trust in the Lord? Maybe I should have called the Social Security and said, can I get my Social Security a little bit early? Looks kind of bleak out there. How about my insurance? Are you hearing this today? Are you hearing this today, you on the radio? Oh, may God change your thinking. But also Paul mentioned those that although they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. I can't say anything worse than a man that walks away from another man that has done a lot for him without even giving a thanks. And I thought how much worse it is. Worser it is. I want to be emphatic in that so you mispronounce and then all the English teachers' ears go up like Doberman pinchers. Some of them is kind of mean as a Doberman too. Not all of them. Worser. When they don't give thanks to God for all that he's done. It's bad enough when we can't thank one another. I've known preachers don't get discouraged. I have known and worked with people for years and years and years, and they can turn around on one note and just no thanks and just walk away. And they'll turn around and say, I'm going on! I said, get on! Go on. How much worse is it when we don't glorify God and treat him as he was God and we're not even thankful? Neither were they thankful, the Bible says. Well, what should I thank God about? Well, you're not in an iron lung right now, are you? How many are glad they're not in an iron lung? Put your hand up good and high. You don't want to be in one, do you? Get up there, Mike. Just kidding. Yeah. That's all right. Huh? How many are thankful they're not in prison? Better be thankful you're not in prison. Take it from me. And peanut butter sandwiches and asparagus soup only go so far, you know what I mean? Don't you think we should be thankful to God? You see somebody else laying in the hospital, then you're thankful to God, right? Aren't we? Someone gets saved or gets well that's been ill, then we're thankful to God. I think this type is as alive as it was in Paul's day. But remember this. Remember this scripture? How can you say you love me and you can't see me? When you can't love your neighbor who you can see. I believe a lot of times we're very, very short on Thanksgiving. I can give thanks every time I look in the mirror myself, because I used to wear a harness all the way from here, all the way up, and all the way up into here and over for years. And I give thanks every time I take my shirt off, because I don't have that ugly harness on there. Huh? Maybe, can you think of something you can give thanks to God about? Ooh, Jesus. Now we're all going to stand in God's high court, and I'm closing it. Will you be accused of being ungrateful? God has given you a roadmap to happiness. The thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. The curves and the hills and the valleys and the potholes and the slippery when wet roads. All those signs along the way. But also God's day is dishonored. People lay in bed with the funny papers instead of going to church. This is unthankfulness. When you receive and never become involved, or go on your own way. Maybe you go out of your way to support, to encourage. Moreover, God's book is neglected by ungrateful people. The book of instruction and wisdom and healing and mental peace. Father's love letters to us, they're right here. But there is something much worse. God's son is refused by the unthankful. God had only one son. One with himself, infinite, holy, his delight, he sent him to earth, he died, and let me get the gospel message out. He died the death of a felon, death on a cross to save us, and yet people hold on to their sin over accepting God's love. Is this ungratitude? You're saying, so what? Well, you're mocking the blood covenant of Jesus Christ, that's what. Now allow me right now to stop off briefly to prick some consciences. Some are ungrateful because they have forgotten God's deliverances. You forget about God delivering you. I remember being delivered from alcohol. Praise God for it. That terrible, terrible, terrible alcohol, that demon of spirits. Or maybe you were taken out of a wreckage and you weren't hurt. I thank God I was almost killed up here not too many months ago. Totaled the whole car out. Were you delivered of fear? How many were delivered of fear? Sure you were. And you still have fear, but you have faith to fight the fear with. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? Deliverance of hate, and you just hated people. God, you hated them. Once in a while, you revert back to it. Now you think, oh, I hate that person, but then you catch yourself. Huh? Lord, forgive me. I really don't hate them. I dislike them. I detest them. Can't stand them. The ground they walk on. Then you catch yourself again. Oh, God. Do you hate somebody today? Then you're the slave. You're a slave to that person. They don't even know that you hate them. They're too busy getting other people to hate them. They can't just have one prisoner. They've got to have a whole army of them. Maybe you got delivered from unforgiveness or poverty or hunger. You vowed, I will love you forever, and yet when it was in your power to help someone else, no. You ran the other way. You were too busy. You were too tired. You were too insensitive. You were worse than ever. God have mercy on you if you're just that way and you have such ingratitude. And you who are listening, who have never gone to bed hungry, never gone to bed without a bed, who have always had plenty, a home and a car and good parents and a good business, and yet you have a hard heart. What shall we do with such, when God asks out of Jeremiah 9:7 and answers, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? I pray this will happen to you. Well, wait, guy called me on. There is such a thing as good luck. What can be worse than that? What can be worse than that to praise God for good luck? You want to trust in luck? You want to trust in God? Another guy called, well, I believe it's on account of I have brains. I said, who do you think gave you your brains? If you think it's because of your brains, I think you ought to go back and have them remade. They're lousy. You owe it all to God. And here's another piece of ingratitude of which many are guilty. They resist the Spirit of God. They resist being born again. And so when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. And this is the very end of this message. I think, lastly, this irreverence and ingratitude were against knowledge. Now notice, according to the text, knowledge is of no use if it does not lead to holy practice. Listen to it. They knew God, but what good was it to know God? They glorified Him not as God. Are you hearing this? As your knowledge, I'm saying, as your knowledge increases, there's going to be more accountability. As you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to hold you more accountable. When your books and when your audit comes and you have a complex system because of all the knowledge that you have, and all the wisdom that you have, and all this, the inward knowings of the things of God in the time of battle, and they open up those books, and the auditor comes in, and he sits down, he says, this does not line up, this does not add up at all. But, well, I wanted to get rich, and I had this opportunity, and so on like that, and I Gideonited, and what's this? This doesn't add up. And this doesn't add up. Kadidink, kadidink, kadidink. The machine is ticking away there and it's adding up all these things. This doesn't add up. This doesn't glorify me. Look at this account. Guy asked me the other day, he says, what are you doing down on the north side? I mean, what makes you tick with all the problems you've had down there? What makes you tick? I says, the Lord makes me tick and He makes me talk. Okay? And I'm all wound up for the Lord and I'm going to stay here having done all. I'm going to stay right here. How many hearing this message today? How many heard it today? There's an accounting coming on. God is going to take your books and open them up, and all the wisdom and all the knowledge you gain from God, He's going to take into account.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 214. That was part 2 to Separated. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are links to the scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, you can always go to the blog and leave a comment. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you back here every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Next Friday, Pastor Paul's message is called Don't Faint. Have a great week. God bless you.
Oh, man.